four miracles. Matthew, with broad brushstrokes, describes these four miracles. What's his point? What's he want us to get at? Well, it's all to do with faith. Firstly, we have the faith of the synagogue ruler. Now, if you know your Bibles well, you will know that in Mark and Luke's account, they give much more detail. They tell us the girl is not dead, but dying. And it's on the way to the ruler of the synagogue's house that the news comes, don't trouble Jesus anymore, she has died. As far as Matthew is concerned, she's as good as dead. Matthew is interested in us seeing the faith of the ruler and the centrality of Jesus in these four situations. You'll notice that the ruler kneels before Jesus and begs him to come and lay hands on his daughter that she might be restored to life. In this act of humbling himself, falling on his knees and begging Jesus, we see something, of course, of the desperation and the anxiety of this father. Of course, if he really believed that his daughter was dead, he was also asking Jesus to do something that would make him ceremonially unclean. In Jewish law, it was a no-no for anyone to touch a dead body, and especially if you weren't related to the family. These Jewish leaders, by and large, despised this miracle worker from Galilee. It was humbling for him to come and ask Jesus for his help. It also, of course, expresses something of the man's love for his daughter. The sad thing is, I don't believe he would have ever have come to Jesus seeking help for himself. But he was in a desperate state. And though we don't believe it, so are we. Will we come to Jesus for the help that we need? Some parents today will spend vast amounts of money to send their sick children on visits to America, to Disneyland, or to avail themselves of some specialist treatment that's not found on these shores. We would do anything if we saw a loved one beginning to slip away. But the question is, what will we do for ourselves? Sadly, some people in this world believe that we're, as it were, mere machines, and from time to time we break down. They put their hope in the future. They're prepared to have their bodies frozen so that at some future date, when a cure has been discovered, they can be unfrozen and healed. The tragedy is, friends, we're not machines. We're not mere mortals, we're immortals. We have a spiritual dimension. This life is not all there is. There is a life yet to be. But what provision do we make for that future life? What's the answer? Well, the answer in all of these four incidents that Helen read to us is the man Jesus. Now, to some of us, it may seem very demeaning. to have to admit that we can't solve our own problems and we need to turn to someone else. And doubly so when that person we're referring to is from over 2,000 years ago, this obscure man from Galilee. Of course, for some of us, the problem is our independence or pride that's the barrier. In this enlightened age, we are sophisticated, and the thought of having to humble ourselves to Jesus seems to some repugnant. I tell you that if one of our loved ones was on the line, we would do whatever it takes. We would embrace any teaching, any hope of saving them. So what's different about ourselves? Hear the words of Jesus recorded in John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Or as we find recorded in John 11 and verse 25, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. What provision do we make for ourselves? In the second miracle, we see this woman who becomes, if you like, an untimely interruption in the journey of Jesus to this rabbi, ruler of the synagogue house. She believes that if she could just touch, as it were, the hem of his cloak, she would be made well. Here was a woman who was ashamed of her condition. It was secret, maybe known only to a few. But people knew there was something wrong. She was weak, maybe unmarried and childless. She was excluded from worship and probably unemployed. She may have come from a wealthy family, for Luke says that she spent all she had, but was no better. But she knew this, that Jesus was her last hope. But because of her embarrassment, she sought the privacy offered by the crowd. Maybe she thought that Jesus would consider her unworthy of his attention. Well, after all, she was a woman for a start. Or that he might be repelled by her condition. Her strategy was audacious. Her act would make him, again, unclean. The contact between the impure and the pure. But for all of this, she plucked up her courage, reached out and made contact. And we're told she was healed. But to her shock and amazement, Jesus knew instantly what had happened and why. And he looked round and not only identified the woman, but singled her out. Jesus does not rebuke her for her or embarrass her, but he lets her know two very important facts. Her healing, firstly, is down to her faith. It had nothing to do with his cloak. And secondly, her status has been completely changed. She's no longer an outcast, but a loved or beloved daughter. She is now one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. a whole deeper healing has taken place. When you hear of someone talking about entering into a whole new relationship with God, is there something in your past which makes you feel unworthy, that God wouldn't want to have anything to do with you? Will you allow such thoughts to bar you from the blessings that Jesus offers? The story encourages us to reach out in faith and put our trust in Him, to receive His new life, this new relationship that He has for us. Hear the promise that Jesus makes in John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will never drive them away. And Peter in his epistle says, cast all your anxieties on Him, because He careth for you. In the third incident, we have these two blind men who call upon Jesus to have their sight restored. Once upon a time, these two men could see. Makes me wonder what it must be like to lose your sight, to have seen the beauty of the world, or of your wife, your husband or child, and then never to see it again. We still have companionship, but there's something missing. These two men needed one another, but more than that, they needed and longed for their sight. We know nothing about their background, other than when they heard about Jesus, they believed He was the Messiah and cried out for Him to have mercy, Son of David. Interestingly, their cries seemed to have gone unanswered. Yet undeterred, they discovered where Jesus is staying and seemingly gate crashed. Jesus asked them if they really believed He could restore their sight. Yes, they replied, and their sight was perfectly restored. This miracle came about not because of their persistence, but because of their faith. Now, I want to stand that story on its head a little. I want to liken those blind men to maybe someone here tonight who feels, due to the circumstances of life, they feel that they have lost their faith. A blindness seems to have descended. Friends, listen to the words of Jesus recorded in Luke 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. Friends, today the Messiah is calling to you. Today will you come to Him and ask Him to restore your faith? Will you allow Him to release His grace and remove the obstacle that has clouded your faith? You see, if I believe that really you do believe that He is able, all you need is the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I believe, heal me now. Well, friends, that Holy Spirit is prompting you now. And finally, we have the demon-possessed man, a man that could not speak. Now, friends, I'm loath to talk about him. because my understanding of the demonic is limited, and I know there is much confusion. So I won't speak about him. So let me conclude by just saying that this situation shows us the power of Jesus, not only to deal with things in the natural world, but in the supernatural realm as well. So if Jesus can heal and bring transformation in the realm of the demonic, we ought not to doubt about his ability to meet those personal needs that we've been looking at today. Of course, I've not mentioned the reaction of the Pharisees to these miracles of Jesus. They heard the amazement of the crowd and their rejoicing, but these killjoys all put it down to trickery, saying he was in league with the devil. Yet look how Jesus goes out of his way to get the people to keep quiet about what has happened. He's not out for personal glory. He's not a publicity seeker. And how does it end? Well, it ends on the cross. But even here, he was making it all possible for us to receive the changes in our lives that we desperately need. We were just looking at the demonic man. Again, how he became like that, we don't know. But it tells us one thing, that if Jesus is able to deal with the demonic, then if we in our life and experiences have crossed over that line and touched the demonic and got involved in it some way with Ouija boards or horoscopes or whatever, we haven't put ourselves beyond the pale and the ability of Jesus to be able to restore us. Isn't he wonderful? Will you allow anything to stand in your way of receiving all that Jesus died to make possible for you? I asked the question earlier on, what will we do for ourselves? If we saw a loved one suffering, we would do and move heaven and earth to be able to help them. But what will we do for ourselves? Jesus is calling. I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't know what needs you have. You don't know what needs I have. But that same Jesus is here. And what he did for these three situations, friends, be assured he can do for us this night. And if we need to reach out and take the blessings that he has for us, let nothing stand in our way. Not pride, not prejudice, nothing. But let's come and ask. Let's pray, friends. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us. You know our needs. You know the conditions we're in. And Father, yet you still look down in love with us and upon us. Oh, Lord Jesus, you who trod this earth 2,000 years ago and healed all these different situations, you can meet our need, whatever it is. There is nothing that puts us beyond the pale of your grace. And so, Father, we reach out in faith. We reach out and touch you in faith. May we know your empowering. May we know your blessing. May we know the joy of your presence and your forgiveness and your love this night. For Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.